Hello there, and welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kate Kresge. And one of my favorite things about hosting this podcast is getting to introduce you to practitioners who are making a real difference, not only in the lives of their patients, but in the lives of other clinicians. Today's guest is someone I've wanted to have on for a long time. Leslie Patel is a registered dietitian with an incredibly unique career path. She started in clinical practice, spent years in healthcare leadership and business, and today she's dedicated to helping practitioners build practices that truly thrive. Because the reality is, we're taught how to care for patients, but very few of us are taught how to build a practice that can sustainably support both our patients and ourselves. And Leslie has made it her mission to change that. In this conversation, we talk about Leslie's journey into nutrition and healthcare, the unexpected path that led her from clinical practice into business, and the lessons she's learned from creating a practice that's both meaningful and sustainable. Whether you're just getting started or you've been practicing for years, I think you'll see a little bit of yourself in Leslie's story, and you'll come away with a fresh perspective on what it really means to build a practice that nourishes everyone involved. Let's dive in. Before we get started, though, I've got a special question for the practitioners in the audience. Practitioners, what if your supplement dispensing, patient education, and treatment planning all lived in one powerful platform built for whole person care? And what if that platform was free for both you and your patients while saving you hours each week on treatment planning and follow-up? Well, meet FullScript, the comprehensive care delivery platform designed to reduce administrative burden and enhance clinical impact. From automated refills and lab ordering with interpretation to evidence-based protocols and built-in adherence support, FullScript integrates the tools you need to streamline care and stay focused on what matters most, your patients. In a recent survey, 74% of providers reported saving up to 3 hours per week using FullScript to create their treatment plans. Are you ready to work smarter and elevate your practice? Visit FullScript.com to get started today. Leslie Patel, welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.
Thank you so much, Kate. I am so happy to be here with you today.
I'm thrilled that you're here. So our practitioners love you at FullScript. You are helping so many people to build the practice of their dreams. And I couldn't wait to have you on just to do an episode about you and your story, because you have such a wonderful story. And so for those in the audience who don't know you, I'm wondering if you can introduce yourself and then tell us a little bit about what made you decide to become a practitioner.
Okay. All right. So I have kind of a long story, so I'll give you the shorter version, the truncated version. I am a registered dietitian, and I have an MBA in global business, lots of experience in the pharmaceutical and diagnostics arena in marketing and sales and various leadership roles. So lots of clinical training as well as business. So honestly, I think I was wired for it. I mean, like many of us are, I think I came out this way, right? At birth, pretty much. Because I remember as a kid, I was so interested in just the human body and wellness. And I do remember, so this is kind of a funny story. My favorite Christmas gift of all times, and this day was so memorable to me even now, was when I opened my gift and it was a microscope with a frog to dissect.
Wait, sorry, how old were you?
10.
Wow. And that was your favorite gift?
Yes, ever.
I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, I just remember being so excited, and I had, you know, the little kit came with slides to look at, you know, and unfortunately a little dead frog, sad for the frog, right? But anyway, I was so happy. And that was really my most memorable Christmas, is getting that gift.
Okay. So then how did you decide to become a dietitian? What was the pull towards that? It was clear you were fascinated by science and anatomy. Yeah. What drew you to that field?
I was a dancer since like the age of 3, classical ballet. And so, you know, I had a very high level of awareness around, you know, just athletics and, you know, that sort of thing. So interestingly, when I went to college, my first major was exercise physiology, basically. But the official degree back then was health fitness promotion in hospital and corporate settings. What a mouthful, right? It was basically cardiac rehab, pathophysiology, you know, and exercise physiology. So I love that so much. Oh my gosh, I was in heaven. But then I started to realize, gosh, my minor is nutrition, and I almost kind of like that better. So what I ended up doing was, you know, getting 2 degrees essentially. So I stayed an extra year, got 2 degrees, one in exercise physiology and the other in nutrition and dietetics, and then ended up doing a post-grad program at Cook County Hospital in Chicago. So that's what we had to do to become registered and sit for the boards.
And so you were a practitioner for a couple of years, and then you had this whole really interesting career in business. Talk us through that time.
Okay. Yeah. So out of my internship, I worked at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago, which was great. Ended up kind of moving around a bit, moving up, going into more of a marketing role. So worked for a couple of additional companies in more of a marketing capacity where I managed basically a region. So I was a regional business director at my last position. You know, a lot of responsibility, right? So sales responsibility, but also kind of oversaw the marketing aspect and the rollout of the strategies within my own region.
So you were doing a lot of marketing. And to me, marketing is so much about education and just messaging things in a way that patients or practice can understand. So look, what did you really feel like you were learning in that time that you didn't learn as part of your clinical training?
Oh my gosh, everything. everything. I got to tell you, Kate, when I first made the transition out of working clinically in a hospital to a, you know, to this other position, and at that time, my first position out of clinical was in sales. It was like hieroglyphics. I can't even begin to tell you. I felt like such a fish out of water. It was really very interesting, but very challenging in the beginning because I just wasn't used to thinking that way at all. So the learning curve was a little steep, I have to admit, but the good news is where a lot of my colleagues may have struggled with more of the clinical understanding, you know, the mechanism of action for some of these medications and products. That, of course, was in my wheelhouse, right? I felt really comfortable with that. But in terms of like the sales process and the marketing process, in the beginning, that was a little bit challenging. So, I mean, let's be honest. I think most of us in as practitioners would agree that we pretty much have zero training in that realm. So it is often like learning a foreign language, right?
Yeah.
I always like to say we did the hard part though with our clinical training, right? Because, you know, marketing and sales, it's very, very different, but I feel like the hard part is already done, right? In terms of learning the clinical end of things.
So how did you wind up taking the skills you learned through building this really incredible career and now doing what you're doing today, which is very much helping practitioners to build practices where they have massive amounts of impact, but they're not burnt out and they're really thriving and their patients are thriving.
Right. So you had mentioned in my intro that I did come from clinical initially and then moved for 13 years. I was in marketing and sales and pharma and diagnostics. And then I really kind of felt like I wanted to go back to my true love, which is nutrition and more of the clinical end of, you know, and helping people, right? Helping people. That was really where my passion really existed. So I did do, I had a private practice for several years. And what I started to see is that many of my colleagues were struggling, right? Really, really, really smart, brilliant practitioners. But again, it's that business side of creating a thriving practice that was quite challenging. And I myself, even though I had all kinds of, you know, experience and I was getting an MBA, it's quite a different animal building your own practice. And so once I started to see this trend, I decided, you know, upon finishing my MBA, that I would make the transition from working directly with patients, which I loved, but I almost felt like I could have more of an exponential impact, if, you know, if that makes sense, by helping practitioners be successful in being able to really leverage and utilize their brilliance with their clients by essentially helping them to build a thriving practice.
And so it's interesting for a patient listening to this, they might hear thriving practice and think like really busy or making lots of money. And that's certainly a possibility. But when I hear thriving practice, I think like full of meaning, full of impact, but you aren't burned out, because
yes,
some practitioners are working late into the night, early mornings, they're missing time with their family. And there's a better way to do it, but there's a science to it. So what do you mean when you say like help people build a thriving practice?
Such a good question. Yeah. So I would say, yeah. And first of all, I do want to mention that practitioners, of course, they want to make a good living, right? But I do really want to clarify that the practitioners that I have worked with, the foremost concern always is providing excellent care, right? That is by far their biggest goal is, you know, how can I work in a model that allows me to make a huge impact and ultimately to be able to serve more people while maintaining my own mental health, right? And not burning out, because burnout really is a significant, I would say, challenge for many. So I would, and to that end, I would say much of this comes down to business structure, right? So many practitioners are trying to grow, and they think to do so, we have to see more patients kind of in this hourly model, right? And so working more hours and just constantly feeling like we have to recreate the wheel every time without having systems in place that enable the practitioner to what we call work, you know, leverage their time more effectively and build a business model that is more scalable, which ultimately the reason I get so excited about helping practitioners move in that direction is because it allows them to ultimately have a bigger impact in the world. It allows them to be able to see more patients without it necessarily requiring more of their time.
I love that. I've heard you kind of talk about things with practitioners like group programs or educational programs. And to me, it is so hopeful because a lot of those are more affordable for patients and they still get great care and they get better.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said earlier, ultimately, that's what practitioners care the most about. Like they will not compromise in the quality of care, right? They want to help their clients and patients get the best results possible. And it's just really interesting how we can repackage what they're already doing and create systems around that. And also take essentially that a similar framework, like, you know, maybe pick, you know, thyroid, hypothyroid, you know, any kind of diagnosis, right? So we want to build out a framework that is flexible, I want to add. So we're not taking away that ability to personalize at all. We're just building a framework behind that patient type. And we're essentially allowing the practitioner to put that framework in a variety of different types of services that would include maybe a group program, right? Maybe it's a membership. So we've got all these different levels that allow the practitioner to, you know, basically take their framework and be able to offer it in a variety of different types of services. Yeah. And it's really nice for the patient because there's always a next step. So even if, like you, Kate, as the practitioner, we're working with a patient in a one-on-one type of encounter over a period, let's just say a period of a few months, I would venture to say that most of the time, while the patient may be vastly improved, right? I'm sure that would be the case, but sometimes they don't need to be in a one-on-one type of relationship with you. Maybe they need like a step down or a maintenance program where maybe it's not as intense, right? Perhaps, and I see this quite often, what the patient needs or wants after that one-on-one encounter with the practitioner would be accountability, being able to ask questions periodically to the practitioner, and also possibly a sense of community. So I love how we can kind of build those different aspects into this variety of different service levels, again, using a similar framework. So the beauty is the practitioner is not just constantly recreating the wheel, right? Every time they turn around, but we are maintaining flexibility, which enables personalization.
I love that. And so we know each other through FullScript. Mm-hmm. And you really help a lot of our community that's doing either conventional or integrative care. And so I'm curious, how did you become introduced to integrative care, whole person care, functional medicine?
Okay. Yeah, I have a story behind that. It was quite a journey. So as probably not a big surprise, as a registered and licensed dietitian, I have, you know, classical training, and I worked at Northwestern, and, you know, so everything was pretty much kind of more of a Western medicine sort of approach, which was great. I thought that was really helpful, and it really helped a lot of people. Interestingly, though, I had my own personal journey happening simultaneously. And so let me share a little bit about the challenges first, and I'll let you in on what the aha moment was. So essentially what was happening behind the scenes is that I knew something was going on with my immune system. I knew something was up. I had kind of bizarre symptoms like night sweats at the age of 25, for example. You know, I felt like I was getting colds all the time. Something wasn't right. And on the outside, I looked great, right? I had labs done, everything, you know, in terms of traditional labs, everything was right on point. So this went on for years, you know, and every now and then I'd be like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm determined. I know there's something, I'm going to figure it out. So, you know, I would see a new immunologist, or, you know, I would just try to take a different approach. Well, long story short is I remember this day really clearly. I had a conversation with one of my colleagues, and she happens to have a doctorate in clinical nutrition. And I was like, And I asked her, I said, you're into solving medical mysteries, right? And of course she was all over it. And I described my situation and I said, do you think this is something? Because I honestly, I started to think after a while, this must just be in my head, right? Because all my labs look great. Everyone tells me I'm fine. So maybe it's not really real. Yeah. So we did functional testing, and my colleague, you know, shared the results with me, and it was such an eye opener. Long and short is I got a referral to a physician and actually another integrative and functional dietitian nutritionist. And I worked with them. We got a diagnosis. Lo and behold, it was mold. So it is a condition called CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And the root cause, at least for me, was long-standing exposure to toxic mold in my home. This is what set me on my trajectory to realizing that there's really something to this functional approach to health and medicine. That experience set me on my trajectory and really made me so, so passionate about looking at more of the integrative functional side in addition to kind of the more traditional medical side of things. It really broadened my view of what could be leading to some of the challenges that my clients were experiencing in terms of neurological dysfunction.
Okay, I have to ask though. So like, are you feeling better? Like how long did it take you to feel like you got some resolution?
Yeah, so I worked with some really great practitioners, but I have to say, nothing did the trick. Nothing really helped until I got out of the moldy environment, right? So for me, that was really the ticket, is getting out of that environment. I mean, I have so many stories I could share with you in terms of like how that went and all the different steps and moving and move, you know, all these things, right? So it wasn't a straight line. Let me just be clear on that. It was very convoluted, but the good news is I've really never felt better. And it's just such a relief to really just like, you know, wake up and feel good every day. So there really is, I do want to say, even though it can feel very challenging when you're in it, there definitely is hope, right? There's absolutely hope moving forward. And integrative functional medicine was by far the ticket for me. It just opened my eyes and just changed the entire trajectory of my career. So now, flash forward, this is the area that I specialize in. I really hone in and focus on helping other integrative functional nutrition and medicine practitioners, as well as coaches, build their practices. So that's really my area of expertise.
I mean, I would imagine we both know so many practitioners who are so excellent. They have the ability to find someone's root cause, but nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows how to find them. And that's marketing, right? It's an awareness problem. It's like there are so many people you could be helping with their mystery illness if they just knew where your office was, or the fact that you can do this type of care, or they heard another patient's story. I'm so glad that you're doing this, because part of the struggle for people who are really sick is sometimes they don't know where to turn. They don't know who can help them. They've tried to see specialists. The specialists haven't helped, and they can start to feel really stuck and hopeless. Mm-hmm. So you really help practitioners to just let patients know that they're there, and then build programs where you don't have to jump straight to a one-to-one visit necessarily. You might be able to do a course or a group program, something that's a little bit lower of a price point, because I would imagine teaching a practitioner how to run a practice that's not based on insurance, which many functional medicine providers can't take insurance because their visits are so long and insurance will only pay you for a 10-minute visit. Is that part of what came up for you, was realizing, oh, this is a different model, you know, than the one I graduated and got my first job at the hospital? Like, this is a very different model that I'm helping folks with.
Absolutely. Because obviously, you know, more the traditional route is it's an insurance-based experience for the most part, right? Which is, you know, definitely has its merits. Interestingly, though, I, you know, doing some just kind of keeping up on the trends in integrative functional medicine, more and more practitioners are moving into either a fully cash-based practice or hybrid. And I think the big reason is because, I mean, obviously there's challenges with reimbursement and things like that, but I think the biggest thing, because remember, practitioners want to do their best work, right? That is the most important thing to them above anything else, is they want to serve their patients and clients in the best way they possibly can. And I think many practitioners are either considering making a switch to, you know, either a cash-based or hybrid type of business model, either considering it or have done it for the most part. I think the trend is definitely moving in that direction for many. And it's really because practitioners want to be able to spend more time with their patients. they want to be able to go deeper. And the challenge with the insurance model, at least based on my observations, is that the model just doesn't allow you to dig deep. You know, for the most part, it's my understanding that to maintain, you know, profitability, you're basically seeing a patient every 7 minutes in that particular model. So you don't get much time with your doctor in that particular type of setting. And I think that leads to burnout on the practitioner side. It just makes them feel like they're not really truly practicing medicine the way they want in terms of being able to help their patients. So that's the shift that I'm seeing. And it's been happening for years, but it just continues to grow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I saw complex and mystery cases in my practice. And in general, it takes a few hours of cumulative time with the patient to really nail down exactly what's wrong and to start to fix it. And you can accomplish that in a single 90-minute visit sometimes. But think about trying to do that 7 minutes at a time to get to 90. Right. That's 12 visits. That might be an entire year if they're coming in once a month. And so you're able to really accelerate care when you're able to just like do that really hard work intensely up front. Mm-hmm. And then they actually end up better, faster, and cheaper usually.
Yes, in the long run, right? Definitely. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, this is great. So was it that you were in practice and you were realizing that you were doing a lot of things that you understood because of your business training and you were watching your fellow amazing providers like come to you and ask questions about it, and you figured, oh, I might as well start a business. Like, how did that happen?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I have to share with you that even though I had a lot of really great experience in business, marketing and sales and leadership and strategy, like amazing experience, when I started my own practice, at least in the beginning, I too had some challenges because it's a different experience altogether when you're, you know, when it's you, right? It's your services. So I struggled too in the very beginning. I really did. And well, I finished my MBA, so that did help. And I ended up working with a couple of really great mentors, which made all the difference. And I think that was so helpful because I kind of learned some shortcuts, to be honest, in terms of how to get my message out, how to structure my business in a way that was really going to work for me as well as my clients. You know, just a lot of the things, again, that we just don't learn in school. So once that all came together, I started to get really busy in my practice, which was great. On the other hand, I started to experience a new set of challenges, which was that I wasn't yet in a position to be offering leverage services. So I started to experience a lot of the things that we've been talking about in terms of, you know, just feeling a little fatigued and like, you know, it was kind of like a little bit of a hamster wheel, right? So I then really realized that I had to get serious. And that's a whole nother story that I can share a little bit. There's certain days in one's life that you can remember so poignantly. And honestly, the day that I made the decision to get really serious and build this business, I remember it so clearly. I remember what I was doing. I remember practically what I was wearing. And I definitely remember who I was with. So I'll just share a little bit about that. So I was in private practice and it was going, you know, reasonably well. I was happy, you know, serving people, but I wasn't making the impact that I wanted to make yet. And, you know, and I think some of our listeners can maybe relate to the feeling of, I don't know, like maybe an expensive hobby, if you know what I mean. Right. So, I love learning. I was signing up for every certification, every, you know, additional clinical training. I was doing all those things under the guise of this is going to be the ticket, right? This is going to be the thing that really helps me build the practice. So anyway, long and short is, you know, this is when I was like, okay, I need to really get serious. So at that time, and again, this is a very poignant memory, my husband was working for a company that was going to file bankruptcy. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, I have two choices here. I can, you know, sit here and worry and just, you know, kind of be stuck in that worry cycle of the unknown, or I can hunker down and really figure this out, or get a job. That was also on the table, right? So I'm really grateful that I made the decision because I really loved my work and I loved helping people. And I decided to really figure this out, get serious, treat it like a full-time position, right? No more dabbling, no more just getting all kinds of extra clinical training and, you know, crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. I really got serious from that point on and figured it out and really moved my practice into like we've been discussing, a more leveraged business model where I was able to ultimately be able to serve more people, offer a variety of price points, be able to offer kind of a variety of different service bundles so that I always had something. I had something for everyone, right? Regardless of any, you know, potential time or resource constraints that my clients and patients may have been experiencing. So that really is what led me to where I am today. That whole experience of, honestly, I mean, I don't want to sound trite, but cracking the code on how to do this, how to do it successfully, and how to build a profitable practice without it leading to more burnout. And ultimately with that goal being of, you know, because again, this is what practitioners want. They want to make a big, huge impact in the world. They want to help people. They want to help people at scale. But the constraint typically in a typical practice model is you only have as many hours in a day, you know, like we'll call them billable hours, right? Like, that's your constraint. Eventually, I would say if you're lucky, you're going to fill those billable hours with clients. But as we know, that also has some, you know, that model, even if you're full and super busy with one-on-ones all day, every day, eventually that does lead many practitioners to start to feel tired, right? Exhausted. And so that's where building in, you know, this more, I call it the profit pyramid. So I have a special name for it. You know, and essentially what that is building in a variety of different services. Again, using that very similar framework that the practitioner has designed up front. So yes, so the bottom line is that I have experienced all of this myself. And when I was in practice, I was going to industry meetings and getting to talk to other practitioners. And I really got the sense that they were struggling just like I had. So I thought to myself, well, I think it's time to kind of put all of my experience together, you know, lots of clinical experience coupled with a lot of sales and marketing and business building experience, and really be able to help other practitioners move forward in building their own practice. And the thing is that I say thriving practice, that is different for every practitioner, right? So there's not a blueprint or a one size fits all. It really is so dependent on what does that practitioner want things to look like? What are their, you know, personal goals? What are their business goals? What are the things they enjoy? What do they want their practice to look like? So I'm able to help them to visualize what they want, and then we implement. I'm able to help them to actually build out those action steps to help move the business forward.
I'm so happy to hear that you were able to find something that like fills you up, provided for your family, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that one moment, you remember that moment story, because so many of us have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens, we're forced to make a choice. And it's a lot of hard work, but you did that. And now you're helping other practitioners to benefit from what you learned without that necessarily the hard work you probably put in those first few months. So tell us what life looks like today for you.
Oh gosh. I feel very fortunate. Honestly, I feel so lucky, and I'm just so delighted to be able to be in a position where I can help other practitioners. So one of my core values is location freedom. So I've always really placed a high value on the ability to, I recognize not everyone is wired this way, but for me personally, I really like being able to travel and bring my laptop with me and not lose a beat in my business. So doing this work with practitioners in the online space has really given me that flexibility and freedom that I really love and crave. So I'm able to travel quite a bit. But really my biggest joy is seeing the progress that I'm able to really help my clients to achieve. That is, it just is the best, you know, when I see them kind of go from that state of confusion that, believe me, I can relate. I was 100% there, over to really coming into their own and stepping into, this is a really interesting shift that I witness as well, is the mindset of moving from practitioner to practitioner plus CEO, right? Because what ends up happening is when you move into that CEO type of mentality or mindset, you make decisions differently, right? You really, I think a lot of times we, I don't want to say in all cases, but we use data, for example, to help drive our decisions in how we're spending our time, what's working, what's not working, instead of just kind of like that gut feeling or emotion.
I love that. Do you have an example of a practitioner you've helped and like their story where they were like, maybe they've got more freedom or 10 times more patients now?
Oh my gosh. One thing is I stay in touch with my clients over years and years. So I work with many people for years. And, you know, eventually in most cases, you know, we take a little break, but we stay in touch. You know, I can think of one client. I mean, there's so many that I could share with you, but one in particular, oh gosh. Yeah. I'll just share this one story. So a client came to me. She was a dietitian, came to me. She was still in a full-time job capacity and desperately wanted to quit, you know, wanted to start a family and just really wanted to have the flexibility and freedom to be able to work for herself, but was literally starting at ground zero, like had nothing going on, no social media, which, hey, I do want to be clear. You can run a business without a huge social media following, just saying, but that's a whole nother topic. Really didn't have any infrastructure set up whatsoever. Just knew she was in this job that was taking up tons and tons of time, and she needed to fast track into her own private practice. And come to find out, she was able to do this. So we got her started in the one-on-one, you know, bundling her services. And what I helped her to do was, again, not to sound trite, but looking for that low-hanging fruit, right? What opportunities does she have in her backyard that she can leverage very quickly to start helping people? And also building out the business model to support her and her clients. So anyway, fast forward, she's doing great. Let me just say, very successful, very, very, like over the top, insane successful. in terms of not only the number of people and lives that she's touched, but also nice revenue, really nice revenue coming in. And she is someone that is working primarily in a group format now. So I do have clients that come to me and they're like, okay, I've kind of got the one-on-one figured out. I really want to scale. I want to move into groups or start a membership. I have a naturopathic doctor I'm working with right now, and that is her primary goal. So people come to me in different places in their business. You know, some people already kind of have it figured out in terms of their messaging and their target audience, and they just want to focus on scalability. So we go immediately there. I do recall working with several naturopathic doctors, actually. A few were still in their training in medical school. So that was really exciting too. They wanted to graduate from their program and have things set up, right? So really, again, starting at ground zero and just building out their services, figuring out their messaging, deciding on what are those strategies that we're going to use to consistently get the message out to be able to reach the right fit clients and patients, right? So all of that came into play. And, you know, I got to say, I look at them now and they're just thriving. It's hard to do it yourself. I will say that. And I was there too. I, you know, even with my background and my business experience, when you're on your own, sometimes you do have blinders and you don't see what someone else can see. There's no shortage of information out there. There's, you know, we're all bombarded with information, sometimes to a detriment, I would say, sometimes if it can distract us from what we're trying to accomplish. So I actually see that with patients quite a bit nowadays too, where there's so much information and, you know, where patients and clients sometimes come to us as practitioners in a bit of a state of overwhelm as well, right? With everything online and AI and, you know, trying to like kind of piecemeal everything together on their own. Yeah. So there's definitely no shortage of information. I think really the goal is to prioritize and really, really work to stay focused.
It does sound a lot like a root cause medicine approach, but just to business where you're actually sitting right? Someone figuring out the root cause, looking at all the factors, encouraging them to take a stepwise approach and really focus on data outcomes. Is this moving the needle? Is this not? But it's, again, it's not intuitive. If you study medicine or nutrition, like you might not have that same set of skills and framework and experience. And that's why going to someone like you who does can be super helpful. So where can people find you and what different types of offerings do you have?
Okay. Well, I love getting in touch and staying in touch with people. So anyone that would like to learn more about me, you can visit my website at lesliebeitel.com. You can also drop me an email. I will answer you personally at leslie@lesliebeitel.com. I have a YouTube channel, relatively new, and I am putting up educational content in a variety of different categories on a pretty regular basis. So that could be an easy option if you're interested in that. And that's at Leslie Beitel International on YouTube. I do a live stream every Thursday, and I have for the past 6 years. So I've got a lot of live stream content. And what I tend to do there is interview people, just like you're interviewing me, Kate. So I have a lot of really, really wonderful guests that I've interviewed on that live stream. And those can all be found on either LinkedIn or YouTube. And then you ask, what types of services do I offer? I do offer one-on-one. So, you know, a little more limited in terms of allocation, but definitely a great option for, I would say, many people really benefit from, you know, having my eyes completely on their business and all the decisions that they're making. So I have private consulting services. And just like I talk to my clients about, I also have other services that are a little bit more scalable, including I have some downloadable courses, and you can find those on my website under courses. And I also have, we call it the Income Accelerator membership. And so that is a very, very affordable option as well, where you get access to me every month in a group setting. And it's a nice, intimate little group. So you do get quite a bit of personalized attention. And I actually recently added a second session per month live with my tech person. So I really wanted to be able to help support my clients on the tech side as well. Because, you know, a lot of these strategies, some, there are some tech questions. So I wanted to be able to support my clients in that realm as well. So that is the membership. It's called Income Accelerator. I've got courses and, you know, I've got a VIP day so we can spend a whole day together. So a lot of options.
Well, Leslie, this has been phenomenal. I know all the practitioners listening are going to go watch your YouTube, sign up for your newsletter, sign up for your next offering. I think it's really wonderful that you've chosen to do this because you are going to help practitioners make 10x, 100x, 1000x their impact, which just means that many more patients healing and thriving. So thank you so much for doing the work that you do.
Thanks, Kate. I really appreciate your time today.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're so glad you're here. Before you go, we'd love your help spreading this message of whole person care. Our goal is to bring this education to more practitioners for free, and you can make a huge difference. If you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review. We read every single one. Drop a comment and let us know what resonated with you, or share this episode with a friend or colleague who might enjoy it. One important note, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and the guests, and they don't necessarily reflect the views of Fullscript or any affiliated organizations. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to be medical advice. For your safety, always check with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your healthcare routine. We'll catch you next time on the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.